One, two, three, fair game!
Falling in love is such an easy thing to do. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Please get into it.
Yeah.
Let's stop talking.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. Let's fall in love.
I'm recording. It's really cool that we were so in sync that we both like started recording at the exact same time without even like discussing it.
Well, I stopped my recording and then I re-recorded.
No, this is the first time we've tried to record, right? Cool.
Yep. Sorry.
Christ is risen.
Risen indeed.
Thank you. I needed to hear that.
Can you tell me something?
What?
Well, you said you were going to tell me something when we started recording.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, okay. Great.
Oh, no. I've been, like, gradually coming out to people in my life that didn't previously know that I was a podcaster. Coming out as a podcaster. They know I'm gay. They already know I'm going to hell, so it's, like, kind of
a
softer blow. But they like it. A lot of people want to meet you now.
Thanks.
It's very fun, though, to all of a sudden get a text from a friend and be like, oh my gosh, remember when you said this? And I'm like, no. Not at all. If I remembered everything I said on these podcasts, I wouldn't be doing them.
Listen, I got tricked into telling my supervisor at work about my podcast.
No.
Yes. Thank God I'm leaving in 2 weeks because...
Oh, no.
We were sitting around and I was like, oh my God, wait, we were talking about like fucking tornado chasers or something. And I was like, I saw this really funny TikTok parodying tornado chasers. And I actually was parodying Wife Swap. And one of the moms was like a tornado chaser and the other was like, you know, whatever, like a fancy whatever. So I was like, oh, I'm going to send this to you. And so I sent it to her, but I forgot that TikTok does this thing now where it's like this account shared this TikTok with you and it'll give you the option to follow. And so I was like, oh no. And I looked at Aubrey because this had happened to Aubrey. But I look at Sarah and I'm like, when you open that TikTok link, you are going to learn something about me.
Oh.
And she was like, okay. And I was like, I have a podcast. We've gone viral a couple times on TikTok.
Oh.
That's it. But please never listen to it. And she was like, she needed to know more. And I was
oh no,
this is the worst day of my life. And then she clicked the TikTok link and it didn't even show what account shared it with her.
No.
Yeah. So I just told her that information.
Oh, you showed your whole ass unprovoked.
I know.
Oh, no. Substances do not mix when you have a secret podcast.
No, absolutely not. Also, just like having an anxious personality doesn't really mix.
Oh, yeah. No, but my friend since like preschool was visiting me a week or two ago. And we were having a good time. We were, you know, flying high and having ourselves a big and rich time, you could say. But all
was there anything green involved?
No.
Hmm.
There was something Rice Krispie flavored involved. That's a story for another day. Because I accidentally took double what I wanted to.
Hmm.
And more so. But anyway.
Good for you.
Yeah. But anyway, in the course of the night, all of a sudden she says, like, oh my gosh, you know what I've been watching lately?
No.
Do you remember that show Secret Life of the American Teenager?
No.
I just rewatched the whole thing. And I had, like, a war flashback, you know? Like, I sat stock still in my chair, and I almost started crying.
Yeah, I would also.
But that's when I was like, Allie, I have a bit of a secret life myself, did you know? And that was when I revealed the podcast to her, and she's been listening to old episodes.
Horrible, horrifying.
She said she wants to meet you next time that she comes visits.
Great.
And she said we're iconic, so.
Thank you. I will be so much more fun the next time because I won't be in fucking school anymore because I'm 2 weeks from graduating as of today.
I'm proud of you.
I am proud of myself. I need to not be in school anymore. Let me tell you.
My motivation. I need you to not be in school anymore.
In the trash.
Gabbage.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched Abbott Elementary?
Oh, yes. I've been championing that since the start. Yeah. Since about 6 months before it started, actually.
I don't want to, like, spend any time on that, but I watched all of that this weekend while I was working on a puzzle. 10 out of 10. What do you want to say?
How do you have more sex than me?
That's a great question.
I'm sorry. That was unwarranted.
No, it's fine. It's cool.
No, I am famously a huge sitcom apologist. I love sitcoms. Abbott Elementary is one of the best sitcoms I've ever watched so far.
So good.
Season one, flawless, gets better every single episode. I watched the finale today because I'd just been putting it off because I didn't want it to be done. And honestly, beautiful. I've been watching it every week as it comes out, and I just...
I'm so excited for season two because it got picked up. Anyway, I need to go change my laundry and then let's do this fucking thing.
Yeah. So now would be a great time for an ad from one of our sponsors.
Yeah. All right. So are you going to do that while I go?
Yeah. Oh, I've got the pre-record done. Oh, okay, so don't worry about it.
BRB. I'm excited to listen to whatever you come up with.
What do you mean? It's a word from our sponsors. Has your ass not touched grass in a stretch of time? Does your skin long for the tender kiss of the sun, swooning down your neck, deepening the color of your skin? Well, you're not alone, friends. Because it's still kind of winter, even though it's slowly turned to spring. And vitamin D deficiency, that's real as fuck. So if you're like me and deficient in D, you know, vitamin and otherwise, buy yourself a Sunny Delight. This orange-flavored juice probably has vitamin D in it. I think it's inspiring for a juice to not taste like what it's supposed to. When I taste a Sunny Dew, I feel as if someone shoved cough syrup down my mouth, followed by 3 spoons full of brown sugar. Sunny D. None of the nutrition, all the sugar. I love it. It changed my life. Before I started drinking Sunny D, I was a virgin. Now that I drink it, I'm getting blown and my back blown out, even, several times a week. I am almost out of my seed. It's been spilled so many times. All thanks to Sunny D Light. To a person like me, the D doesn't stand for delight. It stands for dick, because of how much dick I'm getting. Thanks, Sunny D, for sponsoring this episode for a limited period of time. You can use the promo code GAYDUMBASSESTALKABOUTSECRETLIFEOFTHEAMERICANTEENAGER for far longer than anyone really wants them to at sunnyd.com to get 57% off of your next order of Sunny D Light, or again, Sunny Dick, as some would call it. You know what? I can't say the words promo code. And I think there's something to be said about that. I'm weak in the knees, nimble of tongue, but not nimble of mind. Thanks, Sunny D, for your sponsorship. We love you. Have a great day. Again, that's promo code 2GAYDUMBASSES talk about secret life of the American teenager for far longer than anyone wanted them to. And we're back.
Dur. Okay, I remember what I wanted to say. When Jesse came out as a podcaster to his friend, he texted our group chat and he said that he had come out to his friend and that, you know, she took it really well, even if she's a little bit uncomfortable. And then he said the next tweet or the next text. He was not tweeting this.
I should have been. It was funny as shit.
He was live tweeting this. No, the next text was like, I never thought I'd be able to tell anyone from home that I was a podcaster. And so me, I'm like, oh, clearly like Jesse just came out to someone as gay and it didn't go like super well. And so he's like deflecting by making a joke, as Jesse's wont to do. But no, I just didn't fucking understand the joke that he was making, which was that he came out as a podcaster.
That did divide the group chat between people who understood the joke and people who did not. And then I felt very bad. Because of the kind and loving responses I got.
No, it's funny. So, okay. Here's the deal.
We started out friends. No. It was cool, but it was all pretend.
Brenda Hampton deserves to burn in hell.
And she will.
And we are going to we are covering two episodes this week, to be and or not to be.
Shitty titles. Honestly, for that alone, Brenda is going to hell.
The first two episodes of season four are called When One Door Closes, Another One Opens.
Just as violent.
So, we're covering these two episodes. We are going to fly through this because, honestly, they suck. And we do not need to give these episodes more attention than they deserve. Because I just don't understand, like, how you can be like, this is an appropriate way to, like, talk about this and deal with this. And this is an appropriate character for this to, like, happen to. And of course we're not punishing her. Did you have any idea that this was going to happen until?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay.
Was kind of spoiled sometime a long time ago, so I vaguely had it in the back of my mind.
Okay. Yeah, it had been spoiled for me via TikTok.
So, here's my thing. If we were gonna do, like, I was going to say spoiler alert, but, like, if you listen to this, you've either watched this or you're never going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Or should I wait until we get to the very end to say that thought?
Whichever feels better
to you. I just feel like if we were going to do this specific storyline, it would have felt less icky and less, like, we're punishing and less, like, and it would have altogether made more sense if we had this with, like, Anne's pregnancy.
I was going to say, making it an adult pregnancy, someone who has more coping mechanisms.
Someone who hasn't had, like, a horribly difficult life up till now and was finally starting to feel happiness.
Yeah.
It just feels really gross, a little exploitative.
A little
bit. Not to say this topic shouldn't ever be addressed in television, but, like, the way it was addressed feels so wildly irresponsible and bad.
Especially because they were like, ooh, something bad has happened, but we're not going to tell you what it is.
They don't say exactly what's happened until almost the end of the episode. Yeah. I don't know. There's just a lot of issues I kind of had with it. Again, like, why bring it to this point if this was going to be the end outcome? Like, this was a character who literally an abortion made sense for.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been a lot more powerful storyline to tackle with a teen character, frankly, in my opinion.
Yeah, in 2010 or whatever.
Yeah, and I just feel like it wouldn't have felt as gross as, like, snatching everything away right at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Let's get into this. We're not dwelling on this, on these episodes. We're going to fly through.
Yeah. Oh, also, you know, so many, like, trigger warnings probably should about this series of episodes.
Yeah. I don't even know.
I can't even think of every specific thing that was bad about them. I was really impressed that with all the serious stuff going around, we still managed to kick in some fat phobia. I think that was really
great. Yeah.
That really made me feel seen and loved.
Yeah. So fat phobia, like, obviously, like, pregnancy loss, infant loss.
Bad acting.
In the Arms of an Angel, the song.
Yes. If you get emotional watching sad puppies, this is not the episode for you.
Yeah. Okay. We're skipping biblical context and alternative theme this week also.
The Bible has no place in this episode.
Yeah. Also, this episode is, we're trying to make it as short as possible. Okay. So season 3, episode 25, entitled "To Be ... was directed by Lindsley Parsons III, written by Jeffrey Rogers. Came out on May 30th, 2011, which was the same day that episode 24.
Which, again,
came out.
Why would that be a double feature? Why would this one and the last and the next one not be?
I can't tell you that.
Especially because the last one's the finale of the season. That makes way more sense to have a double.
Yep. It aired to 2.12 million viewers. Also, welcome to Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name's Aaron.
My name's Jesse.
Okay, now that we got that out of the way. So
thank
we start.
God, we didn't forget that.
I know. So we start this episode, like, Adrian and Ben are in bed post-wedding. It's like 4:30 in the morning, and Adrian is, like, so pregnant she's uncomfortable. It's hard to sleep. And so he, like, Ben offers to make her breakfast.
I genuinely thought he was going to offer his dick as breakfast. Just with the way Ben reads rooms and situations and it being, you know, their post-coital night.
Yeah. So they keep calling each other husband and wife.
Kind of cute, I hate to say. Mm.
And then
in a really disgusting way.
So Ben goes to make breakfast. He brings breakfast in and Adrian is, like, passed out. He gets back in bed. We go to the theme. Then we go to the school. Caitlin O'Malley has done her guidance counselor duty and put up a sign that's like, "Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Vojkovic."
And we see the first ever teachers at this school.
Yeah. And the teachers are like, "These girls who get pregnant and get married are so stupid. What fucking idiots they are." And Amy comes up and is like, "Yeah?" And then Amy explains herself to Caitlin and she's like, "Just, you know, Ricky and I didn't know each other when we got pregnant. And also, like, if Ricky goes away to school, like, that probably ruins our chances of getting married. So thanks, bitch. You fucking suck."
I actually love immature Amy getting a little chance to come back for just a second.
Then we go to Ben and Adrian back at their house or their condo, and he runs out from the room, from the bedroom, while Adrian is, like, eating food, and he's like, "We're late, we gotta go," and they make a plan to go to school together. Okay, we go to the Ulysses S. Grant School, the famous bathroom.
Oh.
Amy and Madison are talking. Madison has texted Amy and Lauren. And Amy's like, "You're lucky I can look at my phone because of John, but Lauren can't." And Madison is like, "I have news." She thinks she's pregnant. And she's like, "I don't have time to get pregnant." Good for you.
Yeah.
Lauren does show up, for the record.
Yeah.
Because of course she does.
My immediate thought was, well, Madison's dad must have died, right?
Yeah. Well,
we were always saying that Grace was the common factor. I think maybe it was Jack.
Yeah, that's true.
He's slanging that thing.
Did I already say they had sex last weekend?
I don't know.
Anyway, Madison,
you mentioned thinking she was pregnant. But
yeah, Madison shares that she and Jack had sex last weekend, and that it was pretty interesting.
So basically, Jack doesn't know how to fuck, which kind of confirms what we've all thought.
She says it was very emotional. And afterward, Jack shed a tear or two. And Amy's like, "Guys are allowed to cry." Sure. Good job, Amy. I personally don't think men should cry. Breaking down but...
toxic masculinity.
Yeah,
if a man ever cried, I would be okay with it, but I'd also never fuck him.
Yeah. It's really unattractive to me when men. I don't have a follow-up.
That was awesome. That was sick as hell. I love that.
So, I guess Jack kept saying, I love you, to avoid talking about his feelings. Whatever. So Jack runs into his coach. He's late. He's going to have to run laps after practice. And then Jack tells the coach way too much information. And he's like, shut the fuck up. I'm not the guidance counselor anymore.
All of these teens need to stop talking to the adults in their lives.
And Jack is like, now that I had sex with Madison, I'm stuck with her.
That is how sex works.
Yeah.
It kind of links you two together in an unbreakable bond. It's kind of like one of those, you know, those finger traps. But it's a penis that gets trapped.
Or...
What'd you say? What did you say?
I said or.
Or what?
Use your imagination.
I can't imagine... Because only people with penises have sex, right?
Yeah.
That's all I've ever seen.
What sites have you been going on?
Juicy Boys. Thanks again to our second sponsor of the day, Juicy Boys.
So.
When you need to see a boy get juice, look no further. Juicyboys.com.
So. Jack walks into the school. He runs into Ricky. We find out he borrowed Ricky's apartment to have sex with Madison. And Ricky is like, I don't want to know anything about that. Shut the fuck up. Jack still tells Ricky everything. Ricky gets mad. Jack.
Well, that's cute. I think they should call him Jackie. He looks like a Jackie.
Jack.
I feel like Jackie is more of a himbo name than Jack.
That's true. Jack regrets having sex with Madison. And Ricky's like, well, just don't ever ask to borrow my apartment again. We go to the bathroom. Madison is having a breakdown. And Amy is like, bitch, I don't have time for this. And Lauren says that she shouldn't stay with him just because they had sex. And then she looks at Amy and she's like, you don't even have to stay with him if you have a baby with him. Yeah. Madison did not orgasm. We find that out.
Honestly, that's powerful.
Lauren's like, that's actually not uncommon. Let me push up my glasses and tell you some more sex facts. Then we find out they did it. So they ask where Madison did it, and I think it'd be so funny if she was like, the right hole. Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah.
You
should have written on this show.
But they did it in Ricky's apartment. Amy gets mad. Okay. We go to the hallway. We find out Adrian and Ben are showing up. Grace is shouting.
Oh, wait. I think it's also important to note that Lauren's super pissed off because Amy and Madison have ruined sex for her.
That's true, yeah.
I think that's really important.
So we go to the hallway. We find out Adrian and Ben are on their way. Grace is like shouting. Everyone is gathering. Caitlin starts playing the wedding march on a boombox.
Grace is handing out rice. She tries to give it to this one kid who makes this really impassioned, like, anti-rice screed about how there's a reason that we don't throw rice at weddings anymore. It's because it kills birds because it expands in their stomachs.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're indoors, fucker.
Then Lauren and Madison walk up to Amy. There's a fight about Madison using the apartment. And Lauren is like, obviously Ricky doesn't want Amy to have a key. And Ricky walks in and Jack walks up to him. And Ricky is like, can you get the fuck away from me? And then Amy is so mad at Madison for having sex in Ricky's bed. And Madison's like, we sleep in each other's bed all the time. And then Amy says that's different than sex. And
well, that's the thing. Madison has had sex in Lauren's bed, just not in Amy's.
That's true.
Because she was having sex with Lauren.
Right. And she said, just so you know, I'm not the first girl in Ricky's bed. Remember when Ashley got naked?
Oh my god.
In Ricky's bed. Good times. Good memories.
Wow, everyone's ass has been on those sheets but Amy's.
Yeah. So then Lauren's gay-ass boyfriend comes over and kisses her.
Oh my god, this twink.
Right.
No, and especially next episode, I'm like, oh, Lauren has a gay boyfriend. That's really empowering.
So Adrian and Ben come in. They throw so much fucking rice. The rice is, like, constant. You throw your rice and it, like, respawns in your hand.
Yeah.
And Adrian is so excited. She invites everyone over to their condo and Ben is like, no, none of you can come. Then the janitor comes in, declares class war, and he makes Grant clean up the rice.
This is the second most iconic janitor I've seen on television. The first being the janitor in Abbott Elementary, yeah. Who is one of my favorite television characters of all time.
He's a hustler.
I love him so much.
So, Amy and Madison talk, they make up, whatever.
Wait, also, how did they possibly do all of this without janitor knowledge or approval? They organized so much for him to have no idea this was going to happen.
Yeah. Who knows? He was watching Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Truly.
So then Adrian and Ben are at her locker that's decorated, and Adrian's like, it's almost better than our wedding day.
Huh.
Whatever. Okay, we go to our favorite, like, non-affair, which is Leo and Camille.
Oh my god.
Leo comes up. He's pissed because someone parked in Leo's spot. So he parked them in. Good for him. And
they Do we ever come back to that? Do we ever find out who that was? That's it just was, another drop plot point, right?
It was Mr. Medina's mom, actually.
Oh, hot counselor's mother did it. That explains it.
And then she just rammed Leo's car to get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She ran over Leo to get...
So, okay. They start talking about Betty. Camille is meddling. Blah, 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 blah. Leo wants his woman home.
Yeah, the phone is on hold. It points out all the ways that Betty's family is scammers and the mother's not going to die and his driver might not come home because he's getting his dick wet with all of Betty's sisters.
Yep. And there's a phone call on hold. It's George Juergens. Leo picks it up and he's like, hi, George. And George is like, wrong number. Okay.
Smooth.
We learn about Camille and George's meet cute. He's nice and cute. Camille, you're a fucking liar. He's not nice or cute.
I'll give you cute, but only when he's not being an absolute monster.
Yeah. And Leo says...
Have I been hit on by men who look like him? Yes. Have I been hit on by men who look worse? Yes. Have they all gotten pictures anyway? Yes.
Okay.
Just kidding. That was a joke.
So... He says that you can't go out with people who know me. That's a company policy. Okay, jealous Leo. He leaves. Camille calls George back. She says it's too early for the cell phone number. And he asks her to go to dinner. And she says that she'll call when she's leaving work.
Wait, time out. This is so important. I just closed my final ring for the day.
Nice. Incredible.
Oh, I'm so flexible now. If you know what I'm saying.
So Ashley comes in
twice my size.
Ashley comes in to the kitchen and George is like, I'm going on a date with a straight woman. Tell your mom. And Ashley's like, no. So we go back to the school hallway. Grant is still cleaning. Jack goes to his locker and Jack is like, can I talk to you about a medical problem, Grant? And Grant is like, no. And he's like, what if I tell you it's about a friend? And then Jack tells Grant way too much personal information about him and Madison and having sex with Madison. And Jack is like, is there any medical reason why I couldn't stop having sex? It's called horny brain, Jack.
Yeah.
Grant is like, maybe you should talk to someone who went to shrink camp instead of med camp.
That's true. Is there a shrink camp? Because I'd like to go there.
It's called inpatient. So, Jack says it would have been rude if he had stopped having sex with Madison, and Grant says, this is too personal, I'm not your friend, this isn't healthy for either of us, and then Grant tells him to talk to Madison, and Jack is like, can we be friends? I'm not into Grace anymore, and Grant is like, sure, And then Jack is going to grab a broom and help Grant.
I love how quickly friendships form on this show.
I know.
And if this is following the Grace and Adrian school of friendship, they will be best friends within seconds.
Absolutely. So we go for like somewhere else in the hallway. Amy is pushing past people. She walks up to Ricky and she's like, "You let Madison and Jack have sex in your bed?" And he's like, "I let them borrow the apartment. I don't know what they were going to do." And Amy tells him to get a new bed because everything goes back to Adrian. And he's like, "Well, I sat on the couch with other girls. What about the chairs?" And I'm like, "Really? You're fucking everywhere in your apartment."
Honestly, I stand a freak.
I thought it would be funny if like the next 10 minutes of the show was just him being like, yeah. "What about the shower? What about the kitchen counter? What about the kitchen table? What about John's crib?
What about the guest bed? What about..." There's not that much else in there.
I know.
What about the toilet?
But then we go to the butcher shop. Nora and Ricky are talking. She calls him an idiot and agrees with Amy that he needs to get a new bed, but the bed is a metaphor for something else.
Which, crazy to me, he also reveals that this is the same bed that was in the apartment when he moved in.
Yeah, so someone definitely died in it.
Yeah, horrifying to find out he's been sleeping with that many dust mites.
Yeah. And Nora...
That's actually how you could tell which women he slept in, and they're the ones who are out for a week with lice afterwards.
Yeah, if they're, like, scratching their ear with their foot...
Yeah.
So, blah, 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 blah. Okay, we learn that sex is like conquering the world, and Nora tells Ricky to let her come to you. It's going to be so much better if she comes to you. It's going to be so much better if she comes to you, if you know what I mean. Then he asks about Ollie, and Nora's like, "She let me come to her." And he's like, "I didn't know that's how it worked."
Yeah, I would have thought they came simultaneously.
You know, that's a common myth.
Really?
Really.
Is it possible?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't say.
Yeah, they do say.
Well, I should have 7 rounds to try that out tomorrow.
So... Nora says that maybe it was getting into college that's freaking her out. Like, you're already leaving her. And he's like, "Well, they can all come with me if I go to college. Like, I just want to be with Amy and John." Nora's like, "Tell her that."
I love Nora and Ricky's relationship now.
Yeah. I love explicitly talking about sex with my mom.
I love explicitly talking about sex with your mom, too.
Boom! So Amy and John get home. She's super hungry. There's something in the oven. And George is like, "I'm going out to dinner." George is going out with Camille. He makes some joke where he's like, "Oh no, another big fight with Ricky. Hope it doesn't delay you moving in with him." Which is funny.
Stop simping for George.
Like, you're the one who said he was cute.
In a roguish way.
Yeah. In a Roe Bush way, because he definitely voted for George Bush, if you know what I'm saying.
Was Roe his running mate?
Yep. Shut the fuck up. The joke didn't make sense.
He voted for Bush in hopes to overturn Roe v. Wade.
That's a good one.
Thank you. See, we just needed to workshop it a little bit. Yeah, we were fine.
Yeah. So George is going out with Camille, and Amy freaks out because she wants privacy. And if George is going out with Camille, the Boykoviches will know all her shit. And he's like, "I'm gonna be getting old, but I'm feeling young tonight. My dick is out, if you know what I mean. I took 2 Viagras."
I will say he will have to call a doctor if his dick is already hard, because that will likely be an erection lasting 4 or more hours.
So George leaves. Ashley comes in. She's texting, and Amy's like, "Who?" And she's like, "I'm texting mom." There's like a little bit of tension there. We go to Anne and Josh. They're talking about George and Camille, and Anne's like, "His first wife was blonde." And then she talks about how Camille must be desperate because she's never been married. And Josh is like, are we just dating each other? Or are we dating other people too? Like, I'm ready to take it seriously. She doesn't know. Anyway, there, I think that's respectable.
Yeah.
We go to Ben and Adrian, and this trip to the doctor just turned into a shopping trip. They have 4 more weeks, and they talk about how it's weird. It's kind of scary. Fuck you, Brenda Hampton. Adrian wants to go to bed at 8 p.m., and Ben is like, okay, that's normal, though. You're, like, pregnant. Please, if I was pregnant, catch me in bed at 6 p.m.
I was pregnant, catch me on bed rest.
Yeah. And then Ben basically regrets being born because he's freaked out about this baby.
Grace, I also regret Ben being born.
Yeah, same. Grace and Grant are talking in the Bowman kitchen, and she's like, I don't think you should be friends with Jack. And I do want to say, I love when partners tell each other who they can be friends with.
I do it all the time. I have to approve every single one of my partner's friends. And the approved list is just me.
Hmm. That sounds very healthy.
It is. There's a reason I've never been in a relationship that was healthy. That should change after round 8 tomorrow.
Hmm. So,
by round 9, I'll be engaged, if you know what I'm saying.
Jesus Christ. That's so much sex to have in one day.
Maybe for someone lesser than I. It's not that much if we're heterosexual. Maybe I'm going on a date with a cis woman. Who knows? I never specified.
You did, though.
We're going to have 9 2-minute-long sessions.
Yeah, that's not bad, because that's like a sprint, not a marathon, you know?
Oh, and we'll be sprinting and marathon, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the marathon.
I'm not. I get so tired and bored.
Yeah.
I get to like hour 2 and I'm kind of like, okay, like, can we wrap this up? Like, I'd kind of like to get some food. Like,
yeah. Okay, anyway, so Grant says that he's still friends with his first, and he wants Grace to meet Angie. And then blah, blah, blah. Okay. Madison and Lauren are on a couch at someone's house. Madison and Lauren? It's Madison and Jack. Yeah, it's Madison and Jack, not Madison and Lauren. Hmm. Freudian slip, someone say. So Jack doesn't know what to say, and she's like, are you breaking up with me over sex? And then Jack apologizes for having sex, and he was like, I was going to break up with you, but then I changed my mind. I just didn't want to hurt your feelings. And then he's like, I love you, but I don't think sex is right for us right now. And he says, just because we had sex doesn't mean we ever have to have sex again, which is a great... I actually like that.
I love that.
He wants to be abstinent, and I want to say, Jack Madison, asexual representation.
Oh, God, I wish. I can't take any more storylines about Madison blowing Jack, frankly.
So she says that she'll still be his girlfriend, they just wouldn't have sex, and he's like, yeah, and then they kiss, and they, like, say they love each other. Okay. Kathleen is at Jeff's picking up an order, and George has been stood up, and he comes to hang out with her at the bar. Flirt, 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 flirt. Jeff is supposed to be back next week, but he loves it in Zimbabwe. And George is like, is he going to stay over there? And Kathleen's like, I don't know. And then they, like, they're all, like, honest with each other for the first time. And they're like, hey, 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 okay, what if we fucked in the bathroom right now?
Ooh.
And they proceed to fuck in the bathroom.
I'd be okay with it.
George's dick looked a little weird, though.
Well, yeah, what were you expecting? I guess I wasn't expecting it to completely boomerang around like that. Like, but I feel like that must be a good device of pleasure in that way.
I just think the color was, like...
It was for sure disarming.
Gangrene. Unsettling? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he might need to get that cut off, so he should probably enjoy it while he can.
Yeah. Okay, so then we go to Amy's bedroom. Ricky walks in and scares Amy. She has a face mask on, but not like a COVID face mask, like a Clay face mask.
Oh, yeah. She was dressed up as the villain Clayface from Batman.
And
I forgot about that.
He tells her, he's like, listen, even if I go to college, like, I want to stay with you. And then she talks about, like, holding two emotions in one hand, some really good DBT skills of, like, I'm excited for you to go to college, but I'm, like, sad that I wouldn't see you all the time. And he says, I don't want to get married, but I don't want to break up. And then he's like, I can't wait to have sex with you when you're ready. So anyway, he says he wants to take Amy out to dinner. They can drive up to the school he got into, and they can either sleep together or, like, stay up all night talking.
I'd opt for the latter.
She's like, maybe we could fuck. And he's like, maybe, or maybe not. Maybe, like, I'll leave it up to you.
Fuck while talking all night.
Yeah. He says it'll be neutral territory. They kiss. He kissed Amy with her face mask on. That texture sounds fucking horrible to me. I would hate to do that.
Ugh. Yeah.
Then he says that he just wants to spend some time alone with her. And then he tells her he's getting a new bed. Okay, we go to Adrian and Ben, kind of mirroring the beginning of the episode. It's the end of the episode. She's awake at 4:30 again. And he's like, is something wrong? And she's like, something doesn't really feel right. We find out that Dr. Otavi went out of town for the week. And she's like, whatever, it's probably nothing. Just go back to sleep. Like, I'm okay. And he's like, are you sure? And she says, no, I'm not sure. And that's the end of the episode. That sounds good. All right. Let's race through this. We're doing good time.
We're doing really good time. Maybe we should be so upset with every episode that we lump two of them together and do them in half the time that we take on one usually.
I know. So we're moving into season 3, episode 26. This is the season 3 finale. It was directed by Anson Williams. It was written by Brenda Hampton. It aired on June 6th. That's my dad's 2011.
Wow, congratulations. I'm glad that happened.
I know. Well, this was my dad's favorite show, so he was so excited to, like, watch the finale on his birthday, you know, in 2011.
This would be such a bummer to watch on your birthday.
It would be. It
was a bummer to watch on your birthday. Imagine watching it on the first Easter Sunday that you didn't get to spend with your family ever in your life.
When, yeah,
it's usually a pretty big production.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good.
All right. It aired to 3.56 million viewers. So the number of viewers did increase.
Good for the viewers.
Yeah. So we start at the Juergens house. We're in the kitchen. Ashley and Amy, like, have a little interaction. Amy is listening to music on headphones and bouncing around. Ashley's disgusted by her behavior, leaves. George comes in, and she, like, you know, makes sure with George that her and Ricky are still good to go out tonight. She's like, I love you so much for keeping John for the night. What is this keeping John? Keeping. He's gonna put John in a Pokeball and put him in his pocket.
Pokemon. Let's do it.
So George says that Kathleen will come over and help him if he needs it. Okay. Sure. Camille stood up George, but maybe Kathleen was the right one all along. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. We go to the Bowman house. Kathleen made Tom pancakes. She's in a great mood. Because why would women be in a good mood, though? That's Tom's question.
I don't think women are allowed, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's there to be happy about?
Yeah. Nothing.
You're telling me you're smiling under the patriarchy right now? Kathleen's a bad feminist. Like Roxanne Gay.
I was like, how dare you? And then I was like, that's her book. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You were about to... I could see your eyes shift. And I was like, oh no, Aaron's gonna kill me.
So... George followed Kathleen home last night, and then Tom met somebody on the bus. Whatever.
I can't even think about that storyline.
Yeah. Jeff comes home, kiss, kiss, kiss. It's so good to see each other, and Tom is like, is it good to see each other? Whatever.
Yeah, he's like, come on, Mom, you're kind of a dirty slut.
We go to Adrian and Ben. They're packing bags. They're heading to the hospital, and Ben is freaking out about Adrian potentially being in labor, and he says, "Dear God, woman," which I'm like, meh. And then Adrian feels extremely calm, and so does the baby.
Sick.
And then we go to falling in love.
This whole episode bounces so wildly between tones and subject matters that I feel my neck may have snapped.
Does Brenna Hampton, is she okay?
I mean, obviously not.
So we go to Madison's room after the theme, and Lauren and Madison have a little chat. Lauren talks about needing to break up with her boyfriend because he's gay.
Well, honestly, this is where the term queerbaiting came from, was showing this man.
And she talks about how her parent, like, basically, like, his parents think her parents are married, but they're not. And also his name is Frank.
Sure. Okay. There's no teenager named Frank.
Frank and Joe Hardy.
Who?
The Hardy Boys.
The Hardy Boys? Oh my god. I used to jack off to Hardy Boys books.
Jeez. That is not something I needed to know.
No, it was cute.
No.
I was young. It wasn't too... Look, those books got pretty steamy, and people forget that.
So, Jack and Madison... they talk about Jack and Madison's relationship, and they how they've decided to not have sex, and they've never been, like, happier. Morgan overhears this, and he's like, this is great news. He gives Madison $50.
He basically falls to his knees in Madison's room and starts praising the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's so weird, but kind of funny.
And Madison ends up telling her dad that they did have sex, but just because they had sex once doesn't mean they have to do it again, and they actually don't want to do it again.
And he, like, really respects that and, like, gives her a hug and, like, tells her he's proud of her for making the right decision for her. And that, like,
he loves her.
He loves her no matter what, yeah. Which, like, I honestly wasn't expecting. Like, I thought he was going to take the 50 away and then, like, kick the family dog or something.
Yeah. I thought he was going to die, but...
Oh, God, I wish.
He was like, oh, you had sex with Jack? Wait, sorry. Marshall told me what I have to do if this were to happen.
That's the thing that they don't talk about, is that Marshall actually, like, his kind of spidey sense started tingling and he hijacked the plane and brought it down.
So, we go to the guest house.
Also, real quick. Why do Madison and Lauren get all these subplots and, like, Alice and Henry get kicked to the side and talked about once every three episodes?
Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
So we go to the guest house, Tom and Jack, little conversation between them. Tom is borrowing Jack's ugly ass hat, his newsboy's cap, if you will.
The fact that Jack has a newsboy's cap and we've never seen it shows me how unrealistic that is, because people with a newsboy's cap make that their entire personality.
Yeah, they do. We find out that Tom met a girl on the bus who has two kids. Great. Incredible.
Yeah.
I love this storyline. We go to Grant and Grace in the Bowman kitchen. Grace has decided she does want to meet Angie. And she's like, also like... Jeff and Kathleen are about to fuck all night long because Jeff's home. So, like, I need to get out of this house. And, like, they decide to go to dinner. And Grant goes, is it a buffet? And I was like, this girl's fat.
This is where I'm like, no. My chubby senses started tingling.
Yep.
I got preemptively offended because it's like, okay. This is gonna be bad. I can start preparing now.
Can you imagine getting fucking, like, cast for this role?
No. Can you imagine being, like, passed up for this role?
No.
I feel like that would feel worse in many ways.
Yep. So we go to Jeff and Kathleen. They're in bed. They're talking about his time in Zimbabwe. And he's like, well, the politics aren't great, but, you know... Despite the politics, life goes on. And it makes him feel alive to be a white savior, and he wants to go back to Africa. There are a bunch of organizations pursuing him. And Kathleen is like, whoa, 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 like, Tom can't be on his own. And yeah. Jeff's like, well, he's dating that woman who has kids, so, like, you know, he's going to marry her. It's going to be fine. Normalize marrying someone you met on the bus 2 days ago.
Honestly, yes. I'm all for it.
He says that, like, worst comes to worst, like, Tom and Grace can come to Africa with them.
I love at one point, he's like, it doesn't have to be Zimbabwe. It could be anywhere in Africa. And it's like, okay, so... they're all the same, right? Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For some reason, my next note is Jeff is going to serial kill Kathleen. Sure.
Okay.
So
I don't know why, but I get it.
Yeah. So then they go to the hospital. Adrian and Ben are being taken back. They give the nurse their parents' phone number. She hugs Dr. Otavi, and she's like, let's see what is going on. And Ben is
Dr.
kind of
Otavi,
like,
the senior, not the junior.
Yeah, the woman, not the man.
Thank God.
The mom, not the son. And
the
Ben
mommy,
is a little bit...
not the baby.
Jesus Christ. Is a little bit sullen. Okay. Whiplash to the Ulysses S. Grant High School. Ricky and Amy, they're in love. She couldn't sleep last night. And he's like, well, there's no pressure tonight. And she's like, I like you a lot. And he goes, I thought you loved me. And she's like, well, we're at school. You don't want to discuss personal matters at school.
That was funny.
That was a good callback. They talk about living in New York, potentially. They see Madison and Jack making out in the hallway. And Ricky's like, I'm glad they found each other. Like, they're both goofy. It seems like they belong together. And she's like, do we belong together? And he's like, too personal. Funny.
Very funny.
We go to Jack and Madison. They're horny as hell.
Good for them.
Good for them, indeed. And he recaps her convo with her dad. And we basically find out that if you don't have sex, you're, like, kind of the smartest person alive. And, like, you make really good decisions.
That's true. That's why I don't have sex.
Right. Hmm.
What? Say it. Say it.
Then we go to Lauren and Frank, and Frank is disgusted by Madison and Jack making out in the hallway, and he's like,
this is where my first note, oh no, Lauren's dating a gay.
But he's like, that's disgusting, you shouldn't make out in the school hallway. And he's like, but I do wish this was a place for that, because I'd like to make out with you.
That is so... so reminiscent of the iconic Lady Bird line, I respect you too much to touch your boobs. That's not the line, but that's the gist of the line, you know.
Yeah. And her immediate response is, we have to break up. And he's like, okay, if that's what you want to do. And she's like, you're not going to fight me on it? And he's like, no.
Again, such a gay.
Yeah.
He's gay. He's gay.
Then we go to Henry and Alice. Alice is freaking out because she had a bad dream where there was, like, broken glass. And she's like, we need to call Ben. And Henry's like, why don't you call your grandmother and talk about this with her? Okay.
Yeah, because Alice is psychic and we're just now learning of this.
I had some ideas all along.
Did you?
No.
I actually had a dream that Alice was psychic, and it kind of... you know, it should have tipped me off to this.
Wow. I actually had a dream that you had a dream that Alice was psychic.
I had a dream that I had a beautiful flowing head of hair, but one of my coworker's parents died.
I had, like, 5 sex dreams last night.
That's too far.
I don't know what was happening.
You were horny. You're welcome. I cracked the case.
Yeah. So we go to Grant and Grace in the hallway. They kiss. She's excited to meet Angie. And now Grant is completely against this idea of them, you know, meeting.
Yeah. He's like, oh, why would you want to do that? Who put that idea in your head? And it's like, Grant, it was you.
Yeah. And he's like, just so you know, she has some eating issues. And Grace is like, what is she? Anorexic? Bulimic? He's like, something like that. And then she's like, okay, well, we don't have to eat. Like, we can do something else. Like, I just want to meet her. Okay, then we go to the Caitlin O'Malley's office. It's her and
That was
this
such a.
British fucking homeschool teacher. They're talking in vague terms about something that we don't know specifically. Obviously, they're talking about Toby and Ashley without like explicitly talking about it. And she's gonna call George, and he's like, "Are you gonna blame me?" And she's like, "Honestly, I might because I made a huge mistake. Adrian and Ricky applied to the same schools, and they both got in." Okay.
Okay.
Do you think there are three people at colleges?
They're just setting the stage for how they'll continue next season, basically.
Yeah.
Also, what part of the school year are we in? Do we know?
No.
I have no idea what's going on time-wise.
I also don't know because of, yeah, because Adrienne supposedly still had 4 weeks left of her pregnancy and she was going to have to miss a lot of the end of the school year. So who knows? Wow, whose dick are you waving around?
That is so horribly inappropriate. Don't say shit like couldn't even get through it.
So, okay, we go to the Jurgens. George is pissed off. Ashley and Toby are sitting there. We find out that they tested out of high school.
Sure. Give me evidence that Ashley is smart that we've seen before.
No, seriously. And Toby is like, "Oh, well, sir, like, we're not dropping out of school." And Ashley's like, "But we are." And also, I want to be emancipated. And we find out Toby's parents are just cool with him getting emancipated. We find out they
Sure.
have a plan to like drive across America. Do they know that costs money?
So much money. Do they know that requires having a car?
Yeah. Well, I think Toby has a car.
Oh.
But Ashley has so many family issues. Get this girl in therapy. Speaking of
She
which, watch our
does, but
therapy
also,
video
like,
on Patreon.
yes.
Sorry, what were you saying?
You know what? It's probably good you stopped me. I was about to get canceled for my takes on Ashley's problems and who's to blame for them.
So we find it, she says she's almost grown up. There's so much she wants to do. And it's like, baby, you are a baby.
You are not even close to grown up. You're like 14 years old, I'm pretty sure. 15 at most.
Yeah, I think she's 15.
I'm not even grown up yet, and I'm a decade older.
Yeah. So then we
Humans
go
don't reach sexual maturity until 27.
to. Is that true?
Baby. Humans reach sexual maturity at like 14.
Okay.
That's puberty.
Oh, okay.
I was making a joke that I'm not
I
able to
think, you know,
perform yet.
puberty is like a spectrum.
Yeah.
I personally have grown 6 inches in the last year. I'm now 6'10".
I've grown 6 inches, just not where you'd expect.
Your ass.
Oh God, I wish. You know what sucks?
What?
I'm losing definition in my ass.
I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, I've been taking walks in the park now that it's nice. And I no longer have an ass. It's melted away. But if I don't have the dump truck, what do I have, you know?
Join the flat ass club.
I would rather die.
Thanks.
Hey.
I got them big yitties, though.
Okay.
And okay, so we go to tone shift. We go to the hospital. The hot doctor from What I Like About You.
Nick Zano, put him on Grey's Anatomy. What are we doing? We're wasting his talents and his youth.
So he has interacted with them before. We find out that Adrian and Ben might need his help. He rounds the corner to Ben sobbing in the hallway. And he goes up to him and he's like, "How are you?" And Ben says, "Not good at all." And he goes, she's going to be okay. And Ben says, she might be, but, like, I don't know if I will. And then he just says, yesterday everything was fine.
Bummer. What? It's a bummer. What do you want me to say about this? It so sucks.
We go to the butcher shop. Ricky gets mistaken by Ben for Ben by, like, a customer. Amy comes in and talks to Bunny. We find out Ricky is horny, but, like, love horny. Amy's gonna go up and hang with Nora. There's baby talk about Ben and Adrian's baby. And Bunny says she's really proud of Ben and Ricky. So then Amy goes up into the apartment to see Nora. They both look good. And Nora's like, isn't it so funny how much we look alike?
Again, I'm glad we brought that back.
Yeah, me too. They're both happy for each other. And Nora's like, I don't know how I'm not going to fuck this up with Ollie. And Amy is like, well, you just got to take it one day at a time. And Nora's like, you are a genius.
This scene, I was like, oh, this is so cute. But thinking about it again, they say nothing of substance the entire time. They just kind of, it's just queens supporting queens.
Yeah. And she says, Nora gets really emotional. She's like, I hope nothing bad happens to you or Ricky. And Ben, not Ben, but Amy is like, nothing bad is going to happen to Ricky. And Nora's like, he just can't do anything more. And it's kind of like Nora's gearing up to, like, kill them both.
Kinda, yeah. It did give, like, a little bit of serial killer vibes.
Right?
But in a way that was, like, really hot and fun and flirty.
Yeah. And then Nora tells Amy that she loves her, and Amy's like, well, I love you too. And then Nora takes out an ice pick and stabs her.
This would have been a great murder-suicide.
Instead, it was just a murder.
A murder of my heart.
So... the face you just made.
I'm just saying shit at this point. I don't even fucking know.
So, Nora tells Amy that when her and Ricky get married, she can call her mom and Margaret the other mom. And funny. Margaret comes in and she's like, haha. We find out Margaret is meeting Ollie tonight because we're
genuinely
friends.
Forgot that Margaret was letting
Nora live with her.
Yeah, I forgot that they were living together. I'm like, oh, did something happen that they're, like, cool with each other now? And then I'm like, oh, she's been living in her house.
Yeah. We're all friends. We find that out. And they're like, even if you and Ricky break up, we can all be friends. And yeah. Then...
What's her name? Margaret says, like, Amy, I respect you, and you're the kind of young woman that I think I'd like to be friends with. Mm-hmm. Which actually was, like, really sweet and touching to me. Like,
I'm telling you, social workers...
The only ones I know are extremely toxic.
Hmm.
It's you. It's just you.
So, okay. We go to Leo's business.
My biggest note from this scene is, why do I have goosebumps?
It's a good question. Were you cold?
No, but my heart was warm.
So we go to Leo's business. He's leaving because he found out Ben's at the hospital, and Camille is like, do you want me to come? And I don't know. He's like, I thought you were mad at me. She's going to, like, figure out plans for everyone. So, like, Ruben to get there, Cindy to get there. And she's going to try to find Betty and whatever. And Camille, so, like, Leo gets in the elevator. The elevator shuts and Camille's like, I love you, Leo. Why?
This, I feel like they're setting the stage for something that I'm not gonna like.
I don't think you're wrong.
I hate this show. I do love the actor that plays Camille, though, just because she's so funny on The New Adventures of Old Christine.
Mm.
And I wish she wasn't. I wish I didn't feel that way.
Yeah. So then we go to the hospital room. Adrian is sleeping. But, like, her phone rings, she picks it up, it's Tom, and she's like, Tom, I can't talk, like, I'm in the hospital. Don't pick it up.
Don't pick it up. Don't tell Tom you're in the hospital.
Yeah. So Ben and Adrian are both crying. They cuddle on the hospital bed.
This is horrendous.
Then we go to the bus. Tom is, like, holding up the bus at his bus stop to, like, talk to his girlfriend and her kids. And the kids call him, like, Dad. And then Tom eventually gets off the bus and the kids ask their mom and they're like, is he really going to marry you? And she's like, I don't know, but I'm going to try not to mess it up. He's a nice guy, better than your fucking dad. Your dad sucks.
What's going on here?
It seems like maybe a scam.
This makes me feel bad somehow, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm not really... I don't know. So then we go to Grant and Grace. They're talking about, like, what's going on with the baby. And they're like, no way they're having the baby. Like, Adrian would have texted me. Okay. Angie shows up. She gets introduced to Grace. And
she says, you must be the love of Grant's life. And Grace says, and you must be fat.
Yeah. She says, I'm Grace and you must be fat. And Angie is like, I am fat, you know? You know what? Which, fat is a descriptor term.
That's true. It's not a pejorative.
Yeah.
I used to get so pissed off when I would, like, say I'm fat or something and someone would be like, no, you're, and then, like, insert, like, cutesy little term, and uh-huh. I'd be like, fuck off. No, that's, like, so patronizing.
Yeah, I'm literally fat.
Also, it's not, like, an insult. Also, can we say Angie is gorgeous?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't get why, like, I don't know. I don't even, like, if I saw her on the street, I wouldn't even, like, fat wouldn't be in the first 10 descriptors I would have for her.
Yeah. But, you know, Grant is like, oh, you look good. And she's like, yeah, I've lost a few pounds. You know, I, like, took my doctor's advice and I started eating well and exercising. And I just want to say,
I got off my fucking ass and worked.
That's not how it works.
What?
I know, crazy. Everyone should read.
No, that's not true, because being fat is a choice.
You're not wrong. Everyone should listen to the podcast Maintenance Phase by Aubrey Gordon and Michael Hobbs, and everyone should read the book What We Don't Talk About When We Talk About Fat by Aubrey Gordon, and we should also read Fearing the Black Body by Sabrina Strings and talk about the racial origins of fat phobia.
And I think we should all read The Girl from the Sea by Molly Knox Ostertag, because yes, it's a fun little story.
It is. It is a fun little story. With the Selkie.
It's my second favorite Selkie media.
What's your first?
Song of the Sea.
Mm. So, okay. We find out that Grant likes all women. He likes them small. He likes them tall. He likes them all.
Hot.
He's a ladies' man. Unhinged a little bit, this interaction between Grace and...
Yeah, we're supposed to expect that this school shooter is slaying the puss.
Sure. I just gave the thumbs up.
My disbelief.
So, we go to Jack and Kathleen. They're in the Bowman kitchen. Kathleen's freaking out, and she's like, I don't want to go to Africa. And Jack's response is, well, you don't really want to be married for a fourth time, do you?
That was awesome.
And she's like, no, not really. And then she asks about...
He got her ass. That was so good.
So funny. She asks about the woman that Tom is dating, whatever. We go to the Jurgens house. George and Anne are, like, are a united front. They're talking to Ashley. They're talking about her dropping out from school. And she's like, I'm not dropping out. Like, I'm a high school graduate. I got my GED. And I want to get emancipated. And she's like, I don't want to be in a situation where I'm forced to run away from home.
Bitch, who's forcing you?
My note is, get this girl institutionalized.
No, like, this was such an unhinged... Like, why? I'm so confused. Like, how are you in a situation where you're... Like, I get it. There's a lot going on right now. But, like, your whole thing is you're ignored by your family, who all actually pay quite a bit of attention to you, and you just spend the whole time, like, being a bitch and, like, degrading them and saying how much they suck to their faces.
Yeah.
Anytime they try to show you care or try to help you with anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, it hurts to see her say, be in a situation where I'm forced to run away from home, because, like, there's people in actual situations that are forced to run away from home, and it's like, never like that.
Yeah.
So, anywhom,
Ashley leaves. George and Anne talk, and Anne's like, I kind of knew about this, but I didn't think they were gonna do it. And then they're like, okay, we've talked about her for long enough, let's talk about Amy's sex life, and that now let's talk about our sex lives. Are you gonna have sex with Kathleen, George? And George is like, if given the chance.
I get it.
Honestly.
Why wouldn't you have sex with Christine, Kathleen?
Christine, the new adventures of old Christine.
I have Louis Dreyfus on the brain. I can't help that.
So we go to Ricky's apartment. Ricky and Amy are making out. And she's like, well, maybe traffic is clear by now. There's a wreck on the 405. And he's like,
Amy know the traffic report? Unimportant.
And he's like, are you nervous? Like, is that why you don't want to leave? And she's like, I don't know what I am. And he's like, no reason to be nervous. I'm a very safe driver. That he means driving his dick.
Call that a dick bicycle.
So then we go to Tom and Jack and Kathleen in the Bowman kitchen. Tom says it's time to go to the hospital. Adrian's having the baby. And then the news just travels to everybody. So it goes to Madison. It goes to Grace and Grant. It goes to Ashley, which then it goes to, you know, George and Anne and all this. And then finally, like, it goes to Ricky and Amy, who are making out, and they get the news that Adrian's having the baby.
Ugh, this felt so disgusting.
Yeah. So now we're in, like, the last little bit. All the rest of this takes place in the hospital. But we go to the hospital hallway. Leo and Ben are interacting with each other. They're both crying. And, like, this is when we start talking explicitly about the baby has died. And they're not sure why it happened. In 30% of cases, like, there's not a reason. And we find out that they let Ben and Adrian hold her. They're both crying. Then we go to the room. Cindy is on the bed rubbing Adrian's back. And, like, Ruben is, like, overseeing this. He leaves the room. He's having some, like, emotional problems. He comes out to talk to Ben and Leo. And he's like, it's my fault because I didn't let Adrian have the abortion, essentially. Which, like, that's a valid feeling, but also, like, maybe talk to somebody who's not, like, the father of the baby.
And, yeah.
You know, like, talk to a professional about that or something, because, like, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot to, not the time or place for that.
Yeah. So then Ben says it's not anybody's fault. We go in the room. Cindy and Adrian are, you know, interacting. Cindy asks Adrian what she needs, and Adrian starts crying, and, like, over and over again, she starts saying that she didn't do anything wrong. That's what the doctor told her.
This is heartbreaking.
It's so sad.
It's so, like, I felt uncomfortable watching this. Like, it just felt, it felt bad.
And, Cindy is like, I know that. It's not, like, there's no way it's your fault. Like, you didn't do anything for this to happen.
Yeah.
Ruben comes back in. He's, you know, emotionally distant. Then Alice and Henry show up. They're carrying, like, this huge teddy bear. They see everyone crying. And then, like, a whole group of people show up behind them. And Leo tells them all the bad news. I do have to say, playing the song In the Arms of an Angel, horribly inappropriate.
completely undermines the scene, I started laughing, and then I felt awful, because all I could think of was just, like, that's, like, the song you use when you're parodying something sad at this point. Like, you can't use it for something actually sad and not get, like, a giggle.
Yeah. I was watching this with my girlfriend, and my girlfriend said this song has been used about feral cats.
Yeah.
But Ricky and Amy show up. They see Henry and Alice crying and, like, everyone kind of crying. Amy's already crying when she sees Leo. Ricky and Amy both start crying when he, like, tells them. And Ben comes out and he's like, Amy, Adrian has asked to see you.
How does Adrian know she's there?
I don't know. And Amy is like, Ben, I really, like, I can't do that.
Which, like, that's a lot. But I also get why she'd want to talk to Amy of all people, because she's the only one that's going to be there that's really going to... Well, not really. Well, I don't know.
I mean, Amy and Ricky take this really hard, and, like, it, like, they cry a lot, and it makes sense because, like, they have both had the experience of, like, having a child.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's why I feel like it makes sense for Adrian to ask for Amy, too, because she's the only one of their kind of friend group that would, like, really get how devastating this is. Especially having, like, gone through a lot of similar shit to get to that point.
Yeah. But so Ricky, like, is crying a lot. Leo says Ben and Adrian are never going to be the same. And
that was definitely, like, an overwritten moment.
Yeah.
Where, like, Leo's like, how could this happen? Now Ben and Adrian are never going to be the same.
Yeah.
It really was, like, again, it took me out.
Yeah. Henry drops the bear and hugs Ben with Alice. And then Adrian and Amy are, like, in the hospital bed together. Like, they're both crying. And Amy is comforting Adrian. Ben breaks down in the hallway and Ricky comforts him. And then we go to, like, Amy and Ricky crying and comforting each other. And Ben and Adrian comforting each other. And honestly, this is where the episode should have ended.
Yes! The episode should have ended about 50 minutes ago.
Yeah. But where we go next is Ricky's apartment. They're laying in bed. He, like, goes to take his shirt off, and then he's like, no, like, that's, like, it's inappropriate for me to do that right now. He, like, has consciously made the decision to be like, tonight is not about sex, right? Like, something emotionally devastating just happened.
Yeah.
He gets in bed. Amy cuddles up with him. She kisses him, and she says, I want you. And he says, now? And presumably they have sex.
So what's wild is, what you said makes a lot more sense. It doesn't sound anything like what I thought happened, which I don't know what was going on in my mind, but I thought she said, I want you to take me.
Oh. No.
And she definitely didn't. I think I'm just, I just have a, I'm sick.
Yeah, so that's where the episode ends. I do have to say, I understand the whole sex after crying thing. Like,
that's the only time I'll have sex.
It can be, like, very tender and emotional, but I do not think that was an appropriate thing to, like, put on this episode where, like, right, like, Brennan Hampton is punishing Adrian for, like, being sex positive through this entire show.
It feels like this whole season was one massive fuck you to Adrian.
Yeah. So, anyway. This episode felt these two episodes felt disgusting. We didn't want to do last week's episode on its own because it, like, ended so ambiguously. I knew what was coming. Jesse kind of knew what was coming. You know,
it doesn't feel good.
No, it does not. And I don't think it was handled well. And you can put me on the record saying that.
Yeah, if you think that this episode was handled well, I'd like you to kindly fuck off.
Yeah.
Just kidding. But, like,
yeah,
I don't know. This was a really hard episode to watch, frankly.
I just, like, this episode was hard to watch, and I don't know what, like, I'm so scared to see what the...
The ramifications from this are going to be horrible.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Ben's going to be chill about all this.
Yeah.
And it just makes me sad that they've, like... Again, this feels like they were trying to... Like, all season, it feels like they've been trying to break Adrian.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know.
Anyway, this is the end of season 3. We will be taking a break. Until I graduate.
Until I graduate.
Which is,
which, like, sucks, because I'm not in school yet, so y'all are going to be waiting for a while.
No, I graduate May 1st, so 2 weeks away. A week away by the time this episode comes out.
A week away? Yeah. Now there's a film.
But, yeah. Take care of yourself. That episode was... Those two episodes were... Indescribable. In a bad
indescribable
way.
Uncontainable. You put the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God.
My name is Erin.
All powerful, unshakable. My name is Jesse and I help to host this podcast where we say too much about sex.
And this has been Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. You can follow us on Instagram, Patreon, Twitter, and...
OnlyFans.
What's the last one? TikTok. On Twitter, at your TikTok. Two gay friends.
Instagram?
I said Instagram.
I don't think
you did. It was TikTok that I didn't say. And you can send us an email at slwithjesseandaaron@gmail.com. You can leave us a voice memo on Anchor. You can leave us a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And also, you can rate us on Spotify. Yeah. Follow Jesse on Twitter at GoJesse2K20. Follow me on Instagram, on my Bookstagram, No Money, No Prospects.
Keep an eye out for Jesse. He's got some new projects dropping in the next couple weeks to months, hopefully.
Sweet. So that's it. I hope you take care of yourself tonight, and I hope you have a good day.
I don't have any hope anymore.
Yeah, it's there.
This episode dashed them across the rocks like so many pirate ships in the storms of the British seas.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye, everyone.
Dead men tell no tales.